Quest, please pray for the Rolls baby. I haven't heard any news on that, but just keep him in prayer. Sister Brown would like prayer for Natoya, Diana, Jolly Jones, Stephen Maselli, Ben, Sister Maritza, Philip, Marcus, the Waldrons, Veronica, Sister Robin's family. Tammy Davenport would also like prayer for Timothy's brother for healing. Oh, he was hit in the head with a forklift. Oh, no. He's in ICU in a coma. And Brother Tim's not feeling well either, so keep him in prayer. Oh, that's rough. Sister Aaron would like prayer for Kevin. He's sick. Pray for Sister Maritza, the Davenport family, the Zimmerman family, Greeleys and Dykes. Thank you. And Lizzie would like prayer for family and friends, for the military, and again, thanking the Lord that Aunt Vicki is home. Sister Janie would like prayer for Pastor Sister Greeley, church, military, her and her family, Leola, Juan, Claudette, Brother John, Sister Robin, Sister Jerry, Lavandia, Tatiana, Reverend Romney, Sharon, Adrian, Michelle. This must be Rachel. Once for family and friends, for Haley, mom and dad, for Aunt Vicki and Mrs. McCarney. That is her teacher at school. And then Sister Jerry would like prayer for Steve and Maselli. Some of these were mentioned already. Bambi, Crystal, Terrence, and Shayna, and the young people, all of our young people. The Dianara and her family, Carmen and family, all of the worship team praying for all the situations around the world, and there's a lot of them. Boy, things are going on in the world for sure.
I need prayer. Well, I got a request from my aunt. The pastor's son, Colton Morgan, was in he had a hunting accident.
Oh.
And his gun went off, hit his leg, and
ugh.
So he's in the hospital. Please pray for that.
Yes, amen. Going to our scripture, Matthew 18, starting at verse 19, Jesus says, "Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." That is the reason why we write out these requests. We're asking for agreement that we come together for our families, for salvation, for healings, for whatever the need is. If you'd like to step forward tonight, you can come forward and we will pray. Lord Jesus, I do thank you, God. We just don't appreciate your word enough, I don't think, Jesus. The promises that are there, God. Lord, that you have opened up heaven for us, Lord Jesus. And if we just follow your word and come together and agree together, Lord, touching these things, Jesus, we can see that they will be done, God. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that you work behind the scenes, God. We might not be able to see everything that you're doing, but we trust that you are there, that you hear our prayers, and that you are working on it, God. Lord, you're setting up things that we could never, ever, ever imagine. Just like that story of Joseph and his family. Lord, we thank you, God. Oh, you have all things in control, Lord Jesus. And we just have to trust you and lean on you and believe in your word. Believe in God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to pray. Lord, thank you, God, for our young people. God bless them, Jesus. Let your angels be around them to protect them and guide them and minister, Jesus. Thank you for your ministering angels, Jesus. God, that each and every one, Lord, oh, you send those ministering angels to help us, God. Oh, to watch over us, to guide us, my Jesus, your wonderful spirit, God. Holy are you, Jesus. Yes, God bless our families. Oh, God, let your blessings be upon them, God. Find us together in love and forgiveness and grace and mercy, Jesus. God, what you've given to us, let us freely give it to us, each other around us. Lord, we love you and praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, God. Yes, you are wonderful. wonderful. You're my strength. You're my help, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, in that time of trouble when we don't know what to do, God, we can run to you, God. Lord, you'll hide us in the pavilion, God. Oh, you're my fortress. You're my hiding place, Jesus. Glory to your name.
Jesus, for offering tonight, we're going to be going to the book of Malachi. I'm going to be reading from chapter 3, verse 10, and it says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Amen. The windows of heaven. You think these windows are something? The windows of heaven, he wants to open up for us. Amen. Would you pray with me, Lord Jesus? We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to give to you, to worship you once again in spirit and truth. Asking you, O Lord Jesus, to bless this offering, O Lord, and the giver. In Jesus' name, come give an offering unto the Lord.
Oh, I feel like praising him. Oh, I feel like praising him. Oh, I want to praise him.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for being patient with the quick transition to from singing mode to preaching mode, teaching mode. Hopefully, a little bit of both. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Amen. It's always good to take time to out of the week, busy week, to praise the Lord. Amen. And you all know that, so you're here. Hallelujah. Amen. We miss good teaching when we don't make it to church on Wednesday. And it is good for you to be here. It's good that our young people are staying in the sanctuary tonight. Amen. This lesson tonight, we'll read in John chapter 4, verse 41 here in a minute, but you can stay standing. Praise the Lord. This lesson, as I was reading the book of Mark this past year, a theme really stuck out to me, and I just feel like it was the most, it's one of the most powerful things that we can know and understand. But we're going to start in the book of John, chapter 4, verse number 41. And Jesus is talking in John chapter 4 to the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, as she's called. And he has that interaction with her, and then and we're not going to go through any part of that story, but she goes running back into the town and goes and tells all the townspeople about Jesus. And they come out skeptical, doubting, not knowing what she's talking about, maybe not even trusting her fully. She had a reputation. And this is very powerful of what Jesus hears from them after being with them for a couple of days. In John chapter 4, verse 41, it says, "And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Amen. That last little phrase. Now, this Bible study went from being a 1 hour Bible study to being a 6-part series. So this is the first part of it. Amen. And we don't know when we'll get to hear the rest of it, but we'll figure it out. Praise the Lord. Next time I come to this pulpit to teach on Wednesday night, I'll pick it up in lesson 2. But the Christ, somebody read that with me. The Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. It's so powerful. So what a statement. What an amazing declaration. The Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, be with us tonight, Lord God, as we open your word. Lord Jesus, we've already felt your presence. You've already moved in this place. You've already answered our prayers, God. Lord, you have set the stage, Lord Jesus, for you to do a great work in our hearts and lives tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Savior of the world, Lord Jesus. And we love you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. So tonight, my hope is that one person, one individual, anybody here, and I hope it's more than one, would say and believe exactly what those Samaritans did. They heard him themselves. They listened. They watched. They heard him teach. They watched him do miracles. And they had an understanding from the scripture. And they came away with this great revelation that Jesus is the one true living God. He wasn't just a person of the Godhead. He wasn't a third or a part of a Trinity. Amen. But he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Jesus, as Scripture declares, is the one person, the only person in the Godhead. He's the only visible expression of the invisible God. And what happened to them is their faith shifted. It changed from being just hearing a secondhand account from a somewhat untrustworthy sort, amen, a woman who had been married several times, who had been shunned by society, amen. The woman at the well was going to them and telling them, come see a man, come see this Christ that this is the Savior of the world. And they heard that, but they didn't believe it. And they told Jesus that in what they said. It's not because of a secondhand account. It's because we see it for ourselves. We know it for ourselves. Amen. They went from that untrustworthy person and a secondhand account and Jesus being just a story to having a clear understanding because they had an encounter with God. They went from just hearing about Jesus to hearing from Jesus. They went from it's just another story of another prophet that's come, that's doing miraculous things, to they went to my revelation, my King, my Lord, my Christ, my Savior. Amen. And this is the kind of understanding and revelation that it takes to get you through every part of your life. Every part. A church, as good as it might be, a church body cannot survive on an inherited faith from a previous generation. As I came from the church in Las Vegas, my grandfather was a pastor, and my dad and mom were ministry in the church. They sang and played the piano. But I needed to get this for myself. I had great teachers growing up in my church. And we have great ministry and teaching in this church. Amen. And I've enjoyed that for many years. But it will not just transfer to my children. They need to get faith for themselves. They need to get this great revelation of the mighty God in Christ for themselves. Families, the church is good, but families themselves cannot be sustained by borrowing conviction from a mother or a father, or from a grandparent, amen, to a grandchild. Marriages even, the two that become one flesh, cannot flourish on those moments that you had in the presence of God. The one that you had at the altar, that commitment, amen, to stay true to one another. That touch of God on that marriage that He honors. They can't stay committed. They can't stay sustained on those memories. You've got to have a deep relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. Even parts of our church, the Sunday school department, the youth department, the men's department, amen, the ladies department, even those, they can't function on just one successful event. Just, we had 19 show up to our event, or we had 20 in Sunday school, or we had one person remember the memory verse, or 10, or no. It's got to be a connection to God, a revelation from God. And this powerful revelation has to move from revelation to relationship. It's got to move from I understand who God is to I know. I know who my King is. I know who my Savior is. Amen. We got to know Jesus ourselves. I've got to know Him for myself. Amen. I can't know Him based on someone else's understanding or experience. I need to know Jesus for myself. Young person, you need to know and have a relationship with Jesus for yourself. Amen. It can't be sort of, or it can't be just maybe a little bit, or it can't even be just doctrinally. Amen. It can't be just understanding Jesus from the perspective of history. But it has to be in reality. You've got to know Him. You've got to hear His voice. You've got to experience His presence. And you've got to see Him work in your life. Amen. I need to see God work in my life. Amen. I need to see Him move in my life, in my family, in my church. Hallelujah. I need to know Him. I need to hear Him. I need to have a relationship with Him. And that's what these Samaritans discover. And that's when I was reading the Gospel of Mark. Amen. It announces the kingdom of God like a trumpet. Amen. It's amazing. Hallelujah. Mark shows us that Jesus Christ is not simply a great teacher from history or just another miracle worker. Amen. With new inventions, or that He's just a prophet. Hallelujah. And all of those things have merit in themselves. But Jesus is God Himself. God Himself, the author of history, walking into human history. Amen. And walking in with His own authority. Hallelujah. And this shows, amen, in every chapter of the book of Mark. Every chapter is a revelation of who Jesus is. Every single book, amen, every single line and scene is a glimpse of God Himself. Every miracle declares His identity. This is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. And every revelation that Mark gives us isn't just about who Jesus is. And that knowledge in and of itself is very powerful. It's not just about who Jesus is. It's about how we are meant to know Him in our own lives. Amen. Because the clearer that we see Jesus, the clearer that we know Him, the clearer that we see Him, we understand who we are. Amen. Because we belong to Him. Hallelujah. We are children of the King. Amen. We are citizens of a royal priesthood. Amen. A holy nation. Hallelujah. A mighty, mighty people of God. The church is not just an afterthought. Amen. The church, amen, was the primary motivation of Jesus laying down His life for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, I want to walk through the book of Mark, and this is just the first part. We probably get through maybe 2-3 chapters of the book of Mark here, Amen. And we're not going to read the whole thing, but I want to look at the book of Mark in and of itself. Amen. And this is important. This expository preaching, amen, is important. It's important that we go through the Bible. That as we teach, we open up the Scriptures and we understand the themes of the Scriptures. And we understand what different books are telling us. And we understand those types of things. Get yourself a study Bible. Amen. I see pastor's got the Apostolic Study Bible there. Get yourself a study Bible. Look at it. Understand it. Amen. But we know that every single, amen, chapter in the book of Mark show us who Jesus is. They declare that Jesus is God. It's amazing to me. Praise the Lord. There are many ideas about Jesus. Let's just say that. There are very many ideas about Jesus. And that's all they are ideas. Because the truth of Jesus is in the book. It's in the Bible. Amen. It's not in history or church councils or understandings of different dreams or visions. No, no, no. The truth of who Jesus is in the Word of God. Amen. It's not in a church doctrine. It's in the book. Hallelujah. And so there's people that will go in and they'll say, well, Jesus wasn't God. Jesus was, this is one group of people that says, Jesus was not God at all. And that's a, it's a lie. Thank you. From all the way from the back. That was like a home run all the way from the back row. Hallelujah. It's a lie to say that Jesus is not God. Amen. That certainly is not how the book portrays Him. Amen. The book shows us that Jesus is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Jesus is the great I Am. We know it. We see it. We understand it. Amen. So we walk through these revelations in Mark. We'll call them revelations because it's just revealing layer after layer of who Jesus is. Exactly what Jesus did for the Samaritans. And He wants to move your faith from just having a basic knowledge or just having a secondhand knowledge. Oh yes, I know there's a story of Jesus where He fed the 5,000. Well, yes, I know that Jesus raised the dead. But you don't know Him. You just know the stories. Amen? You've got to know Him for yourself. Hallelujah. Let's change our perspective. If we are just borrowing our faith from someone else, let's change our perspective and get hungry and dig deep into the Word of God. I don't want to just hear about Jesus. I want to hear from Jesus. I want to hear it from His very lips. Amen. I want to hear it from His own mouth. Amen. And this is a great example is the book of Mark. Because Mark was not an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark was not one of the apostles. Mark was not a disciple, a first-hand disciple of Jesus. Amen. But who is Mark? Well, his full name is John Mark. And we read about him in Paul's letters. And we read about him in the book of Acts. And there's a great amount of evidence from everything that I saw and a lot of agreement that just by the writing of the book of Mark, that he is writing the gospel from the preaching and eyewitness testimony of the Apostle Peter. I said that in church a couple weeks ago. Amen. And I I felt like I needed to follow that up because God's been working on me for a while. But if you study it at all, you'll see that most people agree just by the scenarios in the book of Mark, especially personal interactions of Jesus and Peter, that John Mark is writing. He's an evangelist in the first church, in the early church, and he is writing from the perspective of Peter. He's writing from that eyewitness testimony of Peter. It's Jesus from Peter's preaching. And Peter had the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And he was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because he had a revelation of who Jesus is. That's exactly what we see in the book of Mark, in fact. We see chapter after chapter, Jesus being shown as God in the flesh. It's amazing. Amen. And it doesn't just give you a head knowledge, but it shows what Jesus can do if you trust Him. It shows us what Jesus has the power to do if you put your faith in Him. Amen. I said it before, but Mark is blowing a trumpet. Amen. He's announcing the arrival of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. When you open up the book of Mark, it's like, wow, the kingdom really is here. Amen. And it excites you. And you say, wow, Jesus really did move and work and have all the power. Amen. And show all of His authority and show that He could do miracles and show that He can raise the dead. And it's incredible. Amen. Because this is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. God Himself stepped down in human flesh. Amen. To save a sinner like me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him right now. Oh, Jesus, You came to save me, Lord. When I was lost, oh God. When I was undone, Lord Jesus. When I was desperately lost, oh God. Hallelujah, You saved me, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Amen. The book of Mark, chapter 1. Amen. I put this section as the way prepared for God Himself. The way prepared for God Himself. Amen. The book of Mark opens, amen, not with the story of Jesus or not with Jesus, but with His forerunner, John the Baptist, preparing the way. So let's look in Mark chapter 1, verse 2. Mark chapter 1, verse 2. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 1, verse 2 says, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make His path straight. Amen. Jesus did not come to prepare the way for another. No, no, no. John the Baptist came to prepare the way as it was revealed by the prophets for God Himself. Amen. If we are to believe that the Scriptures are telling us the truth, according to the Scriptures, we're supposed to believe on Jesus, then the prophets will tell us who Jesus is. Amen. And Mark is quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, which says explicitly that the one coming is the Lord. and that the messenger that was coming to prepare the way was someone else. Amen. John the Baptist was the messenger. Jesus was the Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40 verse 3 says this, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Amen. Look at that again. It says, "Prepare ye the way for who?" The Lord. Make straight the desert, make straight in the desert a highway for who? Our God. Amen. Not a second person. Not a divine nature or divine figure. No, no, no. God Himself. Amen. John prepared the way of the Lord. And Jesus showed up. Jesus. Mark's first declaration in chapter 1 is that Jesus is the Lord of the Old Testament that Isaiah prophesied of. Amen. Jesus is the Lord. He's not another. Amen. He's not a second person in a Trinity. No, no, no. Jesus is the L-O-R-D. Amen. They pronounce it Yahweh or Jehovah. Amen. Jesus is Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is Yahweh of the Old Testament. There is none other. There is none else. He did not send another person. Amen. But He came and robed Himself in flesh. Hallelujah. And died for our sins. Yes, He was called a son. Yes, according to the flesh. Amen. He was the Son of God and the Son of Man. Amen. Yes, the Scriptures are clear of who that is. It's God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's the revelation part. And that's great. That's truth. Somebody say amen. That means it is true. Amen. That's truth. Praise the Lord. But a lot of times we stop there. And there's a disconnect between this truth that we hear about and what does it mean in my life? What does it mean for my revelation or my relationship with God? And so the question that I need to ask myself and that you need to ask yourself is this: how can I prepare the way for God in my life? How can I prepare the way for God in my life? Thank you, the one person asking that question for themselves. Amen. That's my goal, is just one person. If it's just going to be one, that's fine. Amen. God wants to reach you. He wants to reach one at a time. Amen. So say that question with me, if you will. How can I prepare the way for God in my life? Amen. John, a cousin of Jesus, amen. John prepared the way for the Lord by calling people to repentance. John didn't hold back, not one bit. He didn't care if you felt comfortable or not. He didn't care if He hurt your feelings. Amen. It's better to have your feelings hurt than to burn. Amen. Because hell is real. Amen. It's better that you get a little bit upset with the preacher. Amen. And not be lost. Hallelujah. Because we got to tell you the truth. Amen. That Jesus is the judge. Amen. And we will be judged by His words. Amen. And He does everything in righteousness. Amen. He's not going to send a single person to hell. Amen. You're going to have to choose to go there. You're going to have to choose to sit here. Amen. And stop your ears. Amen. You're going to have to choose to ignore the Word of God and the voice of God. Amen. For you to not make it. Not in this church. Amen. I'm not going to have the judgment of God on my life because I failed to warn you. Amen. I'm not going to have the judgment of the Lord on my life because I didn't raise the call for repentance. Amen. We've got to repent or we will all likewise perish. Amen. We've got to repent. Amen. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We've got to repent. Repent. Turn around. Amen. Let God change your life. Stop ignoring the voice of God. Stop walking away from an altar of repentance. Amen. God is dealing with your heart. He's giving you another chance. Amen. He loves you. He loves you too much for you to walk away and not change. He wants you to prepare the way for Him to come into your life. Amen. And in that same way that John declared it, our relationship with God will open wide up through repentance and clear a path so nothing stops God from working in my life. Hallelujah. I remember as a little boy being out in the desert, amen, and seeing these big paths that were carved look like little canyons. And the earth would get so dried up and so hardened. And you could kind of, you could hit it with a hammer and the hammer would just bounce off of it. Amen. And that's how our spirits can get sometimes. Dry, can't plant anything in it. Just dead. Amen. Nothing can grow on that hard ground. Amen. We've got to till it up and dig up the fallow ground. We've got to dig up that hardened ground of our heart. Amen. I remember as a kid just getting out there with a rock or with my hands, whatever we could find, and just digging a little channel. And that's all it took, was just starting it. Just start a little channel. And about 2 weeks out of the year, it would rain. That was like our monsoon season. And that little tiny break that I started to dig would become a little stream. It would become a bigger path. Amen. When we repent, all we've got to do is just start. God is merciful. God, He deals with our heart, not according to our sins. As Sister Greeley read the other day, He doesn't deal with us according to our iniquity. He deals with us according to His mercy. Turn to the Lord. His mercy endures forever. Turn to the Lord. Just make a little path. Just start digging a little trench. And the Spirit of the Lord will come and flow into your life. Hallelujah. And it will bring life wherever it touches. Hallelujah. Don't stay hardened against God. Praise the Lord. I don't want to have anything obstruct the entrance of the Spirit of God into my life. I don't want to block any work that the Lord wants to do in my heart. Hallelujah. And Mark chapter 1 verse 15 says it like this. Jesus starts to preach and it says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repentance is not a punishment, my friend. Repentance is not somebody taking a stick and beating you over the head with it. No, no, no. Repentance is preparing yourself for something great. Preparing yourself for the work of God. Preparing yourself for the life of God to come in to your life. Amen. It's like clearing that dry desert wilderness and making a little path so that God can walk freely into our lives and be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that He is. Amen. We're asking Jesus to allow His Spirit to flow into our lives. And you've got to dig deep sometimes. You've got to get the rocks out. Sometimes you've got to remove some hardened roots that have gotten deep into your life. And you're not going to look the same afterwards. You're not going to feel the same. You're going to feel free. I can't imagine having this available for me and living another day with a hard heart. I can't even imagine that. Forgive and be forgiven. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. You don't have to leave here tonight with any hardness in your heart. That is good. And that is real. And it's real because Jesus is the God that walked this planet, amen, to save you. He is the Christ. He's the Christ, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Mark chapter 2. Amen. Turn the page. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. A paralyzed man is lowered before Jesus. Amen. I love this passage. I've read it many times. And it's noised abroad that Jesus is in the house. Amen. I love it. But here this paralyzed man is laid before Jesus. They tore up the roof and they lowered him down. And Jesus looks on him and says, in verse 5, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, immediately, the religious folks, the scribes and the Pharisees, they stiffen up. Oh my goodness. What did he just say? Ah. And look what they said. I imagine they had their nose in the air. And they got that air of aristocracy. Amen. And they said, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Just about. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And Jesus doesn't correct them. Jesus doesn't have to answer to them. Jesus is the one who gave them that law and gave them those prophets. Amen. Jesus is the same Spirit that spoke in the Old Testament and gave them that very principle that only God can forgive sins. See, they were right. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus doesn't even correct them. And He definitely does not say, Well, what really is happening is, see, I can't really forgive sins, but see, there's a God the Father. No. He didn't say, well, let me explain the triune. No. He didn't say none of that. He didn't go into a dissertation about how he's three anything. In fact, he doubled down on the proof that he is the very God of the Old Testament. He simply demonstrated his authority in another way to prove that he is the one and only God. Verse 10, he says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man, and that's going to come up later in the series, Son of Man. That is a powerful title. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Amen. He demonstrated in another way that he is God. He didn't have to correct them. He just doubled down. Amen. And by his own word, he healed the sick of the palsy. See, in the Old Testament, forgiveness and healing belongs to God alone. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Who forgives all thine iniquities? Who again healeth all thy diseases? Psalm 103 says that Jesus is the Lord. He's the Yahweh, the Jehovah, God of the Old Testament. He spoke by his own authority. He didn't have to pray about it. He didn't have to ask for permission. No. He forgave the sins and he healed the sick of the palsy. Because he is God and God alone. Amen. Say, well, that's great, Pastor Darren. That's so awesome. That's so good that he healed someone else. But what about me? What about my life? Well, how does Jesus' forgiveness, how does it shape your relationship with God? How is it that understanding and knowing that Jesus is the God that forgives all your iniquities, amen, and heals all your diseases, how does that change your relationship with God? It's a good question. Because when I'm sick, I've got a doctor that created my body. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is my doctor. Amen. He's the one that cleaned me up on the inside. Amen. My life was sinful and dark and wicked and evil. Amen. And he took me out of that mess that I was in. Amen. And he forgave me. Amen. He set me free. Hallelujah. Yeah, knowing who Jesus is, that's it. Amen. It's powerful. That's the revelation. Knowing who Jesus is changes your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus forgiving sins shows that he desires a direct relationship with you. Not through the system of the Old Testament. You know, before they had to go and purchase, most of the time they would purchase the sacrifice and it had to be the proper sacrifice and they would have to go to the priest. Amen. They'd have to drag that animal kicking and screaming. Yes, they were kicking and screaming. Amen. Or flapping and squawking. Amen. Yeah. And then what about this, Pastor? What if you sinned and you didn't have an animal? And you didn't have a job? You were just stuck in your sins. And that was just temporary in the first place. It didn't really clean you up. It didn't really transform your life. In fact, many would take occasion, amen, and they would go and sin again because they could afford it. You can't afford to sin. Young person, you can't afford to live in sin. It costs way more than the money you and I have. All the money on earth can't forgive your sins. But Jesus can. You don't need an intermediary. You don't need a ritual. You don't need any other types of things. But with His own authority and His own mercy, Jesus can forgive you and heal you all at once. Hallelujah. He is good. He is great. Hallelujah. He's the healer of all my diseases. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43 tells us that God alone is the one that blotteth out transgressions. Amen. Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. So when Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee, He's revealing that He wants that closeness and that relationship with you. And He doesn't want that sin to be in the way. He doesn't want that sin to be in your life. And so He freely forgives you. Amen. And His forgiveness will oftentimes come with a healing. Yeah, I got to be careful here, but yeah, some people just stay sick because they're in sin. And it's really stress-related. Stress-related. Amen. Be free from your sins. Be free from your sins. Be healed from your sicknesses. Amen. Jesus forgives the sins by His own authority. And He is the Lord who heals. Amen. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. It says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Who is that?
Jesus.
That's right. It's Jesus. And will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. And here it is. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. So here we have in the New Testament, here we have Jesus speaking and saying, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Yeah. Yes, Jesus is God. Amen. And we're going to get through this whole book of Mark eventually. Amen. But that's just the two chapters. Amen. And I'm going to stop there. Amen. The next part's even greater. I'm telling you what. It's so good. I want to keep going. I really do. Amen. But I'm going to stop. Because I need to take my time with this. Amen. We need to really get this deep down on the inside. Because when you walk through the book of Mark, with your eyes wide open and you see what Peter believed and what he preached, and then what Mark recorded, this is our prime example. Right? John Mark is a prime example of how I should believe. Because John Mark did not see it with his own eyes. I haven't seen it with my own eyes. Well, I've seen what God has done in our life, but I didn't see Jesus. I wasn't there with him. No. John Mark did not see Jesus touch anyone and make them healed. Peter did, and he heard it from Peter. Amen. So when we preach the word, when we preach what is being shown here, that's our prime example of how we ought to believe. Amen. The book of Mark is the earliest recorded gospel. It's the one that was written the closest to when Jesus walked this earth. Amen. And it's what the early church believed with their whole heart. Before decades and decades separated, you know, second hand and third hand understandings of who Jesus is. Before 100 years or 200 years went by and people started writing all kinds of other things about their understanding of Jesus. The Trinity didn't arrive on this planet until 200 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. And I can stand here clearly and tell you, confidently and tell you, that it is not in the Bible. I want to believe Jesus the way Mark believed Jesus. I want to believe in Jesus and have the same revelation that the apostles had. Amen. Jesus is God all by Himself. He's the Christ. He's the only way to know and to have a revelation with God. Jesus is the everlasting Father. Jesus is the great I Am. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Amen. And if you're hungry for Him and you want to know Him, He will reveal Himself to you. Amen. We're not just talking about another great figure in history. This isn't one of the presidents we're talking about. This isn't one of the great teachers or theologians or philosophers we're talking about. This isn't one of the patriarchs we're talking about. We are talking about God Himself, amen, robed in flesh, walking on this earth, amen, and living who He was. Amen? Can you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh God, I love You. I love You, Jesus. Oh God, I want to live, Lord Jesus, without sin in my life, oh God. I want to be healed, Lord Jesus. I want to live free, oh God. Amen. Lord, I want to know You, Jesus. I want to understand who You are, Lord God. Oh, more than ever before, Lord Jesus. Oh God, in the day we live in, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I got to know You, Lord. I've got to know You, Lord Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I praise You, Jesus. I worship You, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I thank You, Lord. I'm so glad I know who Jesus is. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I know who Jesus is. Thank You, Lord. He's the everlasting Father. Amen. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worship Him, worship Him, worship Him for who He is. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, let Him come alive in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God. Oh, God, give us revelation tonight, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Work day this Saturday from 10 to 2. Amen. Since we're 5 minutes before 8:30, let's do this. I need 2 volunteers for popcorn maker. Raise your hand. Brother Joel, you already signed up. Brother Joel, I need another volunteer for popcorn maker. Brother Ryan, awesome. I need another